Little certificate. Yeah, a little certificate, man. Let's pray. And I've got maybe 10, 11 minutes to get a sermon to you. So, because we're going to celebrate communion afterwards. So, are you guys ready? Are you ready? Lord, we're so grateful. Lord, we acknowledge that anything we accomplish through your power. Lord, every idea that is fruitful, it's fruitful because you have blessed it. Lord, I thank you that we who have a lot, we are so stinking blessed, Lord, that we can take that which you have blessed us with and bless other people that don't have that. Not that they're any less, happier than we are. Not that they're any less part of the kingdom. None of those things. But Father, you ask us to go and represent your name. Lord, and I just love that on the way back this year, there were some homeless people. Basically, the bus had broke down, and so they were in a parking lot, and there was these homeless people, and it was one of our young people that just instantly, Lord, we must be doing right, something right, because instantly he said, hey, you started putting some sandwiches together for these homeless people and fed them, and then they began to proclaim the gospel, and they got saved. They gave their life to you. Lord, that's the kind of thing that we cannot orchestrate. It's you who orchestrates it. And so we have said yes, and we will continue to say yes. Amen, church? Amen, amen. Go ahead and turn, if you would, to Romans, the 15th chapter. We've been going through the book of Romans. And today I'm talking about striving prayer. Striving prayer. But I want to begin by asking you a couple questions. And I think for most people, you would probably answer yes to these. Here's the first one. Have you ever had a season of feeling alone in this Christian journey? Have you ever felt, it might have been a day, maybe a week, or maybe even longer, in which you're like, man, I'm all alone walking this Christian journey. I don't know if you've ever been there. And then the second thing is, does the enemy try to isolate you in order to beat you up? And the answer is yes. That's one of his most effective strategies, is to get you out there on your own and beat you up. And the way he does it is pretty subtle. He might get you offended by somebody at the church. You know, someone says something stupid at church. You got to understand, some of us, we just say stupid stuff. I mean, I can't help myself. So if you came to church expecting this to be a no stupid said zone or something, then you came to the wrong place, because we're humans. We'll say something wrong. Just don't be offended, because his strategy is to hold you out there. Or maybe what he does, he begins to condemn you, and he begins to make you feel like you're not good enough to go to church. Right, you've had a lousy week, you said stuff you shouldn't have said, you did stuff you shouldn't have done, then you shouldn't go. And what he does, he isolates you so he can beat the tar out of you. See, it's easier to beat you up when you're alone, but you have a family, right? I call this a gang, right? You have a gang behind you, right? You have a community that he's got to go through to get to you. And that's why you got to be connected, and don't allow him to isolate you. Don't allow him. He's pretty tricky dude. He's been at it for a long time. But you're part of family. So, you know, and what we need is what I call striving prayer. We need to have the prayer covering, as it were, prayer support of one another. And we see that in the Apostle Paul, because the Apostle Paul, for all the recognition, I mean, you don't get anybody that had greater faith in God. You don't have anybody that was more gifted or anything like that. But even for all the recognition that he had, we're going to see in just a little bit, he writes to the church in Rome, and he asks them to pray for him. I mean, he would do that all the time. And the reason he understood is he needed their prayers really for his preaching. If his preaching was to be effective, he needed their prayers. He needed their prayers to be powerful. If the ministry that he was going to do was going to be powerful, he needed their prayers. And then what we're going to see also is, you know, he went in areas that were kind of dangerous, and so he needed their prayers for his protection. And so we're going to look at three different principles from the last part of Acts 15. I've kind of skipped a little bit because we've been talking about a culture of honor here at church, right? In Romans 15, what did I say? Acts. I'm in Romans, right? Romans 15, I skipped a few verses, because he just kind of continues to reconfirm what we talked about the last 3 weeks. So now I want to get down to the end of chapter 15. And here's the first thing regarding striving in prayer. In striving prayer, you have two things. You have Almighty God and a loving church beside you. You got both. When you are in prayer, when you're striving in prayer, you have an Almighty God. That's enough. But you also have a loving church beside you. Look at verse 30 of Romans 15. Look at the language the Apostle Paul uses. He says, now I what? Beg you. I mean, he's not saying, you know, between commercials, you know, will you say a little word? No, he's like, man, I need you. I need you to partner with me. So he says, now I beg you, brethren. So we know he's talking to believers. Now I beg you, brethren, through the Lord Jesus Christ and through the love of the Spirit, that you do the following, that you strive together with me in prayers to God for me. So when he says, I beg you, he's summoning. It's a call to aid. He says, I need you to come. And the Apostle Paul would often ask prayers that he would have opportunity to preach the gospel. And not just opportunities that would be open to him, but that he would have boldness. You're thinking, what? The Apostle Paul wanted boldness? You and I need to pray those kind of prayers or have people pray that for us. That maybe if you start a new job or even at your job, Lord, give me opportunities to share the gospel with my coworkers. And give me boldness. Let me not be afraid. Especially in this country, we shouldn't be afraid. Right? We shouldn't be afraid to proclaim the gospel. Other countries, I tell you what, they pray a dear price, but we really don't. Right? The worst that can happen to us is they just call you a name. Who besides me got called enough names in junior high and playground? You know, yeah, well, you're going to hurt my feelings by calling me names? I doubt it. Because I had some junior high friends that were pretty creative, and they called me all kinds of names. You can't offend me. And so he says, right, he says, I beg you, I'm calling you. And so if a godly man like the Apostle Paul needs prayer, so do you and I. And he says, through the Lord Jesus Christ. So he appeals to the authority of Jesus. And we need to understand the authority that we have in Jesus. I think it's OSL level, is it 4? That talks about the authority that we have in Christ. We sometimes don't understand what that is. And so if you understand the authority, then you'll have full confidence. It's like this, that if, how many of you work for a company that has a CEO of that company? Do you, anybody here have a company that's got a CEO? Say you worked in Intel, that's a big place, and obviously Intel has a CEO. But say you just have this great idea. You know, I've just got this great idea, and I'm just going to run with it. I'm going to implement this plan. And so you just implement this plan. Maybe you set up a little shop somewhere there, in the cafeteria or something. You had this great idea and you're just going to run with it. Well, it probably won't take long for someone to say, hey, who authorized you to do that? And you're like, well, I just had this great idea and I'm running with it. They'll shut you down that fast, I assume, right? But what if the CEO has the same plan, the same idea, and he asked you to carry it out? And so sure enough, same plan, same idea, and you set up shop, and this time somebody comes and says, hey, who authorized you to do that? Well, the CEO. Oh, okay, I was just asking, you know. And what's the difference? Authority. So before you pray, you gotta be convinced of the authority by which you've been given. And the authority that we appeal to is Jesus Christ. Amen? In fact, if you're not convinced, I'm going to give you two verses to convince you real quick. Matthew 28, verse 18, and Ephesians 1, 21 to 22. Jesus says in Matthew 28, all authority. How much authority? All. Complete. All authority has been given to me where? In heaven and on earth. There's a unity between heaven and earth in authority in Jesus. And then he talks about various levels of authority. Because sometimes we're like, well, I don't know. You know, the enemy, I tell you what, it's not even close. Look what Ephesians 1 says. The kind of authority that Jesus has is what? Far above. It's not even close. Far above all principalities, all powers, all might, all dominion. Oh, he's talking about levels of authority. And every name that is named. Not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. Now, it's important because we're living in a culture in which people now are calling on different names, on the name of religion. But it doesn't matter to me. It doesn't matter because we call on the name that is far above any other name. Even if they invent another name. We lived in L.A., and I tell you what, in L.A., you know, there's a new religion starting every month. I mean, that's where cults start. Is if you study cults, they start in L.A. I don't know why, but because people will believe anything there, I guess. And so the Apostle Paul says, I want you to come to my aid, to alongside me, right? We're going to appeal to the authority of Jesus. And then he says, strive together with me. Now, we got to understand what that word means, strive. Strive means to struggle or to agonize together. It's the same word that when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, remember, he knew that they were going to come to arrest him. And he's like, man, he's like pouring it out. He's striving. In fact, he has his disciples, hey, strive with me. And what did they do? They fell asleep. Oh, my gosh. You know, sometimes I read that and I'm like, dudes, I can't believe you would have fallen asleep. But then I realize if I was there, I would have what? Fallen asleep. And so what the Apostle Paul says, man, I'm looking for people that are willing to strive in prayer with me. It means to labor beside. It's really a military term and an athletic term. This word about striving, about teaming up, about laboring together would be used in the military or in the athletic field. So I'm going to use the athletic portion of it. It would be like in our day saying this, leave nothing, right, on the field. That's what he's saying. Let's strive in such a way that we leave it on the field. You get your uniform dirty on the field. You just lay it out, man. And that's what he's talking about. He says, I don't want somebody to, you know, give me a T-ball, you know, slow pitch softball kind of a. No, he says, I want somebody that is just going to lay it all out once and for all. And that's the way you should pray. If you're going to pray, why would you pray a little, you know, softball or T-ball kind of prayer? No, really what he's talking about is this. It's almost, he's talking about bombing the enemy. It's really what he's talking about. You know, I grew up in a time when the Vietnam War was going on. I know I don't look that old, but I was a young guy. And so I'd come home from school, and every night there was, you know, an update of what's going on in the Vietnam War. And so you grew up seeing these, like these guys that, you know, the radio guys who, you know, they're kind of being surrounded by the enemy. And so they would call for reinforcements. They'd call for really the plane to come and carpet bomb the enemy. That's really what he's talking about. That you pray in such a way, right, that you do damage. You pray in such a way that it's effective. And we need to learn to pray that way, right? You need to brawl in the spirit. I'm a brawler in the spirit. I'm surrounded by people that love to brawl in the spirit. We take no captives, right? Because I've seen the damage that the enemy has done to people. That's what's wrong with our world. Sometimes people blame God. I'm like, are you kidding me? It's the enemy that you should be blaming. And so I need your prayers. The Apostle Paul needs your prayers. So if anybody told you that praying is easy, they explained to you wrong. It's warfare. It's hard work. Because we're praying against evil forces. We're even praying against the flesh, which is lazy. You know, when we were pastoring in L.A., there was a thing called the 500 room. Pam told me why it was called the 500 room yesterday. I thought, why was it called the 500 room? Well, back in the 20s when the church was first started, apparently there was like 500 people in that big room. It's a big room, you know, bigger than this here. And the Holy Spirit just came down, and there was 500 people. So they began to call it the 500 room. But every Saturday morning, our Latino congregation would be in there for hours just striving in prayer, just agonizing, moaning, just contending and contending. Right? God, we need you to move in our families. God, we need you to move in our community. God, we need you to move in our church. I mean, that's what they did. That's the kind of striving that the Apostle Paul's talking about. So when you pray, you got to understand God is with you and so is your church. Here's the second thing about striving prayer. In striving prayer, you have Almighty God who listens to specifics. If you're praying again, according to His will, He's hearing you. And you got to be confident of that. Look what he says, the Apostle Paul, Romans 15, verse 31. And look at the two things he asked for prayer. He says, that I may be delivered from those in Judea who do not believe. Now, he knows that he's going to be going to Jerusalem. He knows. And he knows there's going to be trouble there. And the reason he knows is because in Acts 20 and 21, prophets had said, guess what? When you go to Jerusalem, there's going to be trouble there. So he understood that there was going to be trouble there. And that's why he's asking for prayer. He said, that I may be delivered from those in Judea who do not believe. Talking about the Jews. But he had a problem with really the Jews who had converted to Christ because they were suspicious of him too. They're like, well, he used to persecute us and I heard he's converted, but I'm not sure. So they really weren't fans of the Apostle Paul. He says, and the second thing, that my service for Jerusalem be acceptable to the saints. What he's talking about there is he had been collecting. See, the church in Jerusalem was struggling. They were poor. And so he had been in Asia Minor collecting donations from the churches there to bring to Jerusalem. And so you're thinking, well, why is he worried whether they're going to accept it or not? These churches that he had been making collections from were Gentile churches. And even though these believers in Jerusalem were saved, once again, they're Jews that they were brought up in the law, and they were brought up to really not even associate with the Gentiles. So the Apostle Paul is worried that I'm going to bring this gift, and they're like, whoa, it came from Gentiles? No, thank you. Huh. So that's why he's asking for those specific kind of prayers. And then the other thing that I love, I mean, the Apostle Paul knew that when he got to Jerusalem, hell's going to throw everything at him. He knew that, and that's what hell does. Hell throws everything at you. That's okay. Jesus is on our side, amen? Amen. Don't ever let that throw you any at all. And so he's asking that they would pray for him, that God is powerful enough to restrain those people. And it's amazing the way the Lord did move, and he did move. And the Apostle Paul, when he got to Jerusalem, there was trouble there for him. I mean, the Jews tried to literally rip him from limb to limb. I mean, they went nuts. They went ballistic, and they're trying to rip him from limb to limb. And it's interesting who God used to rescue the Apostle Paul. See, a lot of times we think, well, God's got to have his men. You know, the governor has got to be a Christian. You know, the president's got to be a Christian. Or, you know, the mayor's got to be a Christian because God's got to have his person in a place of power to move. And you know, God can use anybody. In fact, who he used to protect the Apostle Paul was the Roman army. I mean, these guys are ruthless, and so they go into the crowd, they pluck him out, they carry him out, and then they protect him. In fact, the Lord uses the Roman army to get the Apostle Paul to Rome. See, because he had already told them he's going to end up preaching and witnessing on his behalf in Rome. So it takes 4 years later to get the Apostle Paul to Rome. He spent 2 years in Caesarea. We were there when we were in Israel. And it took 4 years in the custody of the Roman army, the most powerful army on the planet, protecting you. That's pretty good. That's pretty good. But here's an interesting thing. When God tells you something, always be ready for it to be fulfilled a little bit different than you thought. The Apostle Paul, I'm sure he's thinking, well, Lord, you kept your word. I'm in Rome, and I'm proclaiming your word, and I'm being a witness for you. But I got here in custody. I wasn't expecting that. I wasn't expecting that, but still God carried out the very thing that he said. And here's another thing. The Apostle Paul is praying for a situation that is 1,000 miles away. 1,000 miles away. See, sometimes we think, well, we hear of somebody that has a need 1,000 miles away or 2,000 miles away, maybe a family. You hear family struggling, you know, several states away. And there's something in our mind that we think, well, my prayers may not be as effective because they're not right in front of me. No, guess what? God is Lord in front of you, and he's Lord 1,000 miles away. That's why it was effective. They pray. That's why when we pray for our churches in Haiti, God moves. When we pray for our missionary in New Zealand, God moves. When we pray for the missionaries and the church that we help start in Fiji, God moves. When we pray for Mexico, God moves, because he's Lord there too. And you got to understand that. You got to grasp that. It doesn't matter how much distance there is, because to God there is no distance. So when you pray for family and friends, you might want to pray something like this. Lord, soften their hearts. Lord, soften their hearts. You know how I know the Lord can soften hearts? Because he softened mine. And he softened yours. Who here had a hard heart besides me? Right? Christians came and told me about Jesus. I sent them away with a few curse words. That's how hard my heart was. But then the Lord began to soften it. You pray that blind eyes are open. Our eyes were blind. Yesterday I was blind. I thought this was all baloney. I thought this was all phony. And now I will die for what I know is true. What happened? The blinders were taken off. So blind eyes to be open, and also bind the resistance. Bind the enemy. You can bind him and pull him out of the way. Here's number 3. In striving prayer, you have Almighty God and a loving church beside you to bring you the following: joy, refreshing, and peace. Oh, I'll take all three. You have an almighty God and a loving church behind you or beside you to bring you joy, refreshing, and peace. Let's look at those. Verse 32 and 33, the Apostle Paul says, when I come to you, I know that the prophets, you know, even the prophetesses have been talking about how bad it's going to be in Jerusalem, but I'm praying that when I come, right, I may come to you with joy, talking about cheerfulness. Wait, Paul, don't you know that things are going to get pretty hot, but he doesn't care. See, and so sometimes we don't, you know, we got the family reunion coming up. We're like, oh my gosh, family. You know how family is, right? You're going to spend Easter with family. You're like, oh my, no, you should pray, Lord, give me joy when I come be with family. Because I got family too, just like you do, right? And I've got the crazy family members too. By the will of God, that's how you get the joy, by the will of God, and may be refreshed together with you. Now, that's an interesting word, that word refreshed. We're like, well, I know what that means. But the word, it means you would use it, really the Apostle Paul is almost saying like this, I hope we can take a nap together and be refreshed. It's the word that you would use for taking a nap. Any good nappers besides me? I love a good nap. I love a good nap. You know when I take my good naps? See, I go like crazy. You know, Monday through Sunday, I'm going. Sunday afternoon after church is done, I get home, and as soon as I come through the door, I said, let the Sabbath begin. And I throw my jammies, and I'm going to take a nap. So don't bug me, okay? Let it be known, Sunday afternoon, don't bug the pastor. That's the word. I'm being refreshed. I'm being refreshed. And then in verse 33, now the God of peace, the God of harmony, the God of security, the God of prosperity. That's what that word really means. The God of peace be with you all. Amen. So I'm going to finish with this because we got communion to do. I'm going to finish with just asking you a question. See, a lot of times as a pastor, it's kind of interesting. I've gotten myself, I got people mad at me sometimes because maybe they went to the hospital and I didn't visit them. Well, here's the problem. They never told me. Sometimes people put stuff on Facebook and think, like, I'm on Facebook 24/7 and I'm going to see it. And so by the time I find out, the person's already been in the hospital and gone. And I didn't know about it. And so I find out the people are mad at me. And I'm like, I'm not a mind reader. And so if you want me to know about something, let me know. But here's another thing that we can do. Here's the question that I have for you. Here's a question. Bring it up in the last slide. What specific prayers do you have for Almighty God? So you have specific prayers like the Apostle Paul. There might be one thing, two things, maybe three things. What specific prayers do you have for the Almighty God and for your loving church? See, we want to know your prayers. And one way, if you download our app, you see at the bottom left, I love that, it says prayer, and it's a football player on the field just praying right there on the bench. Oh, that's so, right? War, man, war. Right? He's taking time to pray. And when you click that, then this comes up, prayer. Need prayer? Let us know. You just put your name, email, send it, you know what your prayer need is, and it goes. And we have a team that's going to strive in prayer. They're not just going to, you know, say a prayer. You're just like, okay, I'll say a little quick prayer. No, they're going to strive in prayer. In fact, they're going to pray, and they're going to pray, and they're going to pray. That's what we do. Amen? Amen. Communion. Come on, Pastor Daniel, if you would.